The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. It's a system of automation and a strategy which will shape the way you invest in property forever. It's a quality of life, it's a way of life, it's a business mindset. The anonymous landlord will make loads of money from property and continue to grow wealth and assets without giving up time or energy or life. Because what's the point in making a load of money from property if you've got no time or energy to enjoy it? My name's Tom Soan, and this is The Anonymous Landlord. Hi, this is Tom Soane, and welcome to another episode, a very special episode of The Anonymous Landlord, because today I am joined by a very, very, very well-known person in the whole world of letting agents, property technology, and the whole property industry. One of the most respected COOs in the country, the COO of PayProp, no doubt, and I'll let him explain what PayProp is for those that don't know. But warning, if you have not come across PayProp, you are using the wrong letting agent. But I am so pleased and so privileged to be joined right here, right now, by Mr. Neil Cobold. How are you, Neil?
I'm very well, Tom. Thank you for the big up and the nice intro. I love the property industry. You're absolutely right. I've been in it for years. I think it's the best industry at all to be in. I love the fact of you pushing the tech. I think tech has been our biggest advancement in years. And I think we've got a lot more on the horizon for good and for bad, for landlords to have to find their way through.
Great. We're going to dive straight into that, because you know what? You've hit on a topic there of technology in property. And I see it as there are some really great technologies out there that are being used properly and brilliantly. There are some really bad technologies out there that are just taking people's money. But there's also some really good technology that people aren't using properly and some really bad technology that people also aren't using properly. So, do you know what? Just an opinion-based question, first of all. What do you see as the pros and cons of landlords using technology?
So, look, the biggest pro is that it's getting a lot more compliant, that they need to be keeping their records and everything up to date, not just within our sector. If we think of the Consumer Rights Act, if we think of the GDPR regulations, everything is coming on tightening and making those records need to be really strong and robust. And that is a pro of tech. And as you mentioned, the correct tech. I think the downside is we can't expect all our landlords to be technology experts. So knowing which tech to use can sometimes seem like a full-time job. And our sector is becoming very noisy on tech. Our escalation has gone phenomenally in the last 3 years. And what that means is it's hard to understand what you need or if it's solving the problem that you're looking to solve. There's the old saying that necessity is the mother of invention. Unfortunately, the necessity that's brought some of these tech is for quite localized or singular problems that somebody's experienced and decided that everybody in the property sector must be experiencing this same issue. So I've been involved in agencies for 20 years and I've had lots of exposure into property. We've had in the last, I think it was last year in 2019, 167 new technology prop tech companies open. Wow. Now, I know we've got a few problems within the property sector, but I don't have 167 issues that need to be fixed. So how do you find the one? And that, I think, is probably the biggest con. The biggest pro is when you find that correct software, the transformation change that it makes for landlords, agents, be whoever are using it, then they start using emotive words. And that's when you know you've found the right tech. When you're still referring to the features, you're still looking at the tech. When you start talking about the peace of mind, the control, the way it's given me back my time and my life, those kind of things, then you know you've found the right tech.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, you know, you mentioned a word there, necessity. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because everybody's different and everybody's needs are going to be different. And you might have one landlord who's most concerned, or the biggest issue in a landlord's mind is collecting rent. And from landlord to landlord, the next landlord's biggest issue might be getting contractors or managing maintenance jobs or compliance or finding tenants and all of those things. And, you know, now, do you want nail on the head? There's all these different tech companies. How does a poor DIY landlord know which tech they can use?
So, look, the best thing to do is to go and use forums, connections and groups. Not that I'm promoting Anonymous Landlord just because I'm on it. There are other ones out there. I suppose you have to say that for advertising purposes. But go and use that communal. Don't reinvent the wheel every time and feel that you have got to learn. Because yes, there will be differences and nuances to every business, but there will also be tech that runs true for the industry. And those tech, go and find out, and don't get one or two reviews, because even the best company in the world can find one or two people that will say that property, that system is great. Go and actually find out how it's being used. What's the sentiment? What are you seeing out about that? If it's new, how can I get myself comfortable that I'm making the right decision? But if it's not, and they're telling you they've got a good market presence, there's enough noise out there within landlord groups, your landlord actions, your landlord forums, to go and just put it out there. Use social media to its point. I'm thinking of this tech. Can anybody tell me? Have you used it and stopped using it? What was it? What did you take it to solve? So they might be telling you it solves their problem, but if 90% of the other people tell you that they didn't take it and it doesn't solve that, then relook at what you're actually taking. But let's use that collective knowledge. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands out there as landlords, be it DIY or using agents. We have a lot of collective knowledge. And yes, every tenant's different, every contract's different, every landlord, every property. So we've got lots of variables in there. But ultimately, it's a property, it's being rented, and there are certain legal and compliance regulations that we still have to comply to. So there are going to be some running there. But if it's specific to yourself, then ask yourself, what am I looking to solve? Don't go in and ask the tech to tell you whether it can solve your problem. Understand your problem yourself and what you need it, and then go and identify the tech and bring them in with the sole purpose of answering that problem, not selling to you that they can change your world, because we don't all want our worlds changed. What we actually want is tech to provide a solution. But I think too much time, the tech approaches us, and salespeople do a great job. I got a whole sales team, and that is their job, is to sell. If they couldn't be passionate about the product, they wouldn't be in that job. But you don't need them to be passionate about the product. You need them to show you that that tech solves your issue that you're looking to solve.
Yeah, and very, very fair points, and some real golden nuggets in there as well for a lot of people listening, I'm sure. And you know what? Look, we'll dive into that a little bit more, actually, because there are loads of different techs out there. Now, my letting agencies, all of them use PayProp. Right. I'm a big fan of PayProp because it not just solves a major problem for landlords, but it also solves a major problem for letting agents, in that it's relatively foolproof. It's a we actually describe and we sell our service now as an instant rent payment, same day rent payments. Right. Because that's what happens. There's no human error involved. It can't go wrong. The landlord's notified constantly. There's access to all of the information readily available for the landlord, but also it's managed and it's automated and delegated. And that fits right in with the Anonymous Landlord. But OK, so PayProp, and I'm not getting paid to say that, by the way. I'm not getting paid by PayProp at all. Maybe I should be. I don't know. But anyway.
Thinking that myself, sat here. I couldn't have said it better myself, Tom.
But the point I was trying to make there is that's one piece of tech, right? And I hope you don't mind me asking this, but what other tech is available for DIY landlords? Because PayProp's only available to letting agents, right? And that's a good thing, I think, because anyway, for whatever reason. But what do you see as decent tech or decent tech ideas for DIY landlords, self-managing landlords?
look, if we're talking about new things into the market that I like, then DIY landlords can now access some really good systems to allow them to do the referencing. Even though it's not now a chargeable service, the need for referencing, particularly in the current climate, has never been higher. To understand not just that background and that history, but to make sure you are asking that affordability question and actually, can the tenant have a right to be able to take this property? And should you morally take them on? I think that's the question. As we've gone through this pandemic, there's been a phrase through our property sector of health before wealth, which is difficult, particularly when you can't suddenly have your property costs disappearing and you've got to keep those going, but we still have an obligation. So you'll find there are things that you can use as a private DIY landlord to help you with the referencing. And on that, go and look at your landlord forums and groups. They've now linked together. So we've had the RLA and the NLA now joined to make one large forum group. They actually have a supplier list on there that have been vetted by their landlords. Not only are they vetted, but they actually detail and they're only able to choose specific functions that they're able to do. If you're then looking to deal with an eviction at the moment, it has become a minefield. And I know we can't deal with it over the course of Christmas, but when we come back into the new year, having a system and a professional. So there are things out there like Agent Smart, which are again able to give you access to that professional who can do it. And the big key for me with any tech with a landlord is transparency. Anything that I'm using, be it DIY or agent, I don't care. There used to be this thing for the tech where one of our biggest things was to keep it hidden. Talk in almost a foreign language and make it sound like it was double Dutch so nobody would actually understand what we were doing and then we could charge what we want. Those days have gone. That was the dot-com bubble and the boom and bust. What we now need from tech is no garbled tech speak. We need it in plain property language with clear transparency. And that is what's going to set that tech apart.
Yep, I totally agree. I think that's what's happened, isn't it? When tech first started coming about, it was a bit gibberish and trying to bombard people with jargon and this is what you need. But I think now as we're starting to acclimatize and become, you know, tech becomes habitual, I think you start embracing that. And the ones that shine through are the ones that are transparent and don't try and bombard you with information and fear. The ones that are just upfront and this is what the system does. This is why you might need it. This is why you might not. So talking of that, as I mentioned just now, PayProp, and I want to talk about PayProp. And by the way, just let me introduce this because I'm talking about PayProp, by the way, to anybody listening to this, because I'm a big advocate of PayProp as a company and what it offers and what it solves for landlords and letting agents. But I want to try and help landlords that are perhaps considering using a letting agent or landlords that are looking for technologies that can help them achieve what they need to achieve. And so if you are looking for a letting agent, then the first thing I would say is ask them if they're using PayProp, because that solves a number of things that say, number one, is my rent going to be messed up? Are there going to be deductions that that come from other people's deductions, right? And you see it all the time. There are stories where all of the money, all of the rents, 250 different rent payments go into a client account, and then a deduction is taken that you think, hang on, what's that deduction for? And then then all of a sudden, landlord number two hasn't got enough rent to be paid because the deductions come out of that client account, and it's just crazy to maintain.
It is. And, you know, with a lot of systems, client accounts are a pool of money. And I've always found that to be an issue, even when running an agency. The amount of pressure that it gives you to understand that client account, that you have people keeping their own funds in within client account, even though that's not what HMRC would ask you to do because it's not client money. So we try and find workarounds. Good tech should remove those workarounds and allow us to be compliant. And I'm going to be biased because I'm PayProp. but it's not just pay prop. So if we were to look around your question, what should you be looking for in an agent? What we should actually be looking for is that keyword that I mentioned, that transparency. But everything's around convenience now. An agent isn't my access to the portals. I can do that myself. My agent, and so using something like Rental Step, as a landlord, I can post up to the portals. An agent isn't my access to a property management software, because there's things like Released, which will allow the landlord to do it themselves. So if it's no longer that, what is an agent offering? And an agent is offering that knowledge. So not only that local knowledge, that compliance, that industry knowledge, and that is only going to get stronger. You know, I think it's something, I haven't had an update this year because I've been going on more, but the courts have been, but last year in June, it was 177 different pieces of legislation that covered the property sector in England and Wales. Now, for a landlord to keep to grips to that, that's what a modern agency should be actually allowing you, that we take that peace of mind, that liability, that compliance element, and that now sits with us, Mr. Landlord. You can never give away your liability. So it's not even if you take an agent. That's the other important thing for when a landlord's choosing an agent. Sometimes they feel, well, I give it, it's the agent's problem. But you don't give that liability. So being able to see what they're doing and have that transparency, never been more important. And that compliance is only going to get stronger. So look for agents that are able to say, this is what we're able to do, this is what we're able to offer. And then you hit the nail on the head. I'm a property investor myself and have my own. I could look after them myself, but that's not my job. So I use agents, and I use that for the protection of those funds. But the last thing I want is to lose visibility of what's happening. So the agents I use and the tech that they use is about giving me that visibility. I also like to choose tech that protects my tenants. And agents that look after my tenants are agents that I'm also looking for. There was this view within the industry that the tenant was just a necessary evil. I hate that. The tenant, for me as a property investor, is how I make my money. They're not necessarily evil. They are actually a vital customer of mine. And I want them to be looked after so that they see it not just as a property, but as a home. Because when they see it as a home, that's when it gets looked after. That's when I get some of my best tenants that have been in my properties for 7-8 years, not this 1 year transition. And an agent that can offer you that service element, that convenience fee. I do a lot of talking, and I mentioned this same story because it was bizarre for me when happening. But my daughter now can't wait 10 minutes for something to download on Netflix. The idea that when I was younger that I had to go and order it from a shop, wait for it to come in, go and take it, watch it that day, otherwise I'd get penalized and take it back. It's no longer convenient, and everything needs to be now. So make sure that that playoff when you take an agent is that you're not losing vital services that you need. In the same way that tech needs to solve the problem without giving more problems, an agent should be the same. So I'm going to an agent to help me with that liability, to help me with that compliance, and to provide me that property expert. But if I'm losing vital services, that's not a good service to pay for. It must be in the benefit of that landlord. And go and assess. And don't be afraid to continually assess. Because I know we have this, because we can be an investor, we become the landlord, and then we become the anonymous landlord, because it kind of gets forgotten. It's kind of the route through. But actually, I think tech, you don't have to become the anonymous landlord. You can be as face front with a modern agent, even as or as a DIY, having complete control now without it needing to be something that takes your day-to-day 8-hour job, but still having that peace of mind that everybody in this is being looked after. And that's a good agent. That's how you really are using it. And contrary to what comes out in the news, there are a lot of those out there. The agency market, the introduction of the rental reform and ROPA, it may have been postponed because of the pandemic we've gone through, but it's still on the horizon. A lot of agents out there are doing a very good job. Don't get me wrong, there are still ones out there that aren't, but that will disappear. This industry is starting to go through the route to become a professional industry. And we got shown that when the pandemic, when we first came out of lockdown, in the trust that was given to the industry as one of the first allowed to open, because it's vital to our economy. And landlords are vital to that. And I know they don't seem it sometimes, and this grab on CGT is the latest, but there will always be a need. But I think the need for a DIY, I think over time that will disappear, because a landlord isn't going to want to take that compliance burden when there's an expert out there. I could probably go to court and argue for myself, but I wouldn't. I'd use a lawyer, because their understanding and their knowledge as a profession is something I'm willing to pay the service for. And that's how a modern agent is going to prove their value.
Yep, couldn't agree more. And you know what? I think what's happening in the whole property investing world and landlord world is, first of all, yeah, we can become anonymous landlords, but anonymous is different now, isn't it? Mm. Whereas at one point you might use a letting agent and be completely anonymous to everything that goes on. You just get your profit into your bank every single month, no problems. And that's that. But now anonymous landlord takes on a different meaning. The anonymous landlord is more about being anonymous to the process and being anonymous to, if you're a DIY landlord, you can still be anonymous to the process by using the right tech to manage aspects of the aspects of being a landlord. You can use a letting agent and be anonymous to the requirements that are needed. You know, you don't have to necessarily be anonymous to the letting agent or anonymous to the tenant, but you're anonymous to the process and what's required. But also, I think you're absolutely right. The letting agent nowadays is a different role. You know what? There's so much information now, as you've just mentioned, and everyone wants it now. Everyone wants the everything now. But there's so much information to try and analyze and dissect and interpret. I think the role of the estate agent as well as the letting agent is now somebody who understands what that information means, where to get the correct information, and to interpret it into real terms that mean something to you. What do you think about that?
I mean, do you know, if I think back, you know, 10, 12 years, and you had the portals, when you're advertising a flat, Rightmove used to train the letting agent to put the finger and point on the picture to let people know which flat it was. And you think back and you look at that and you think, how did we think that was the right thing to do? How was that how we were explaining? And now you look at it. We've got properties now that we've let where actually we have never met that landlord. We've never met the tenant during the pandemic. We've used tech services to go and take pictures and take 3D dolls images. We do viewings where we virtually walk somebody around the place as if they're completely viewing it themselves, but virtually. We do all of our assessment and our vetting of the tenant using online services out there that landlords can use, where you can use your phone and scan the RFID chip of an ID and match it to a registered document for your rent protection, for the right to rent. Things like that, those advancements were never there. Because we now have that, it changes for a landlord and for an agent. What we're now, where's our benefit? And our benefit can no longer be in the transaction, because there are other things that can be used for that transaction. We often get that, and it's not about paper up, but you took paper up on. When we're speaking to a lot of agents, there's that view, that's my job. And for a lot of landlords, but I do that. I do that reference checking. But if it's just I do a transaction is the reason to not automate a transaction, that's a poor argument. If it can be automated and remove human error, and that can free you up for your knowledge and expertise to be used to better benefit your clients, be that be your tenants, be that your contractors, be that your landlords if you're a letting agent, then that should always be our route. This is a people-based industry, and even though we've done it automated, it's needed that property professional to be that glue in the middle. And that is where we need to make sure we still have that vital service. Even a landlord, be that vital service. You cannot say, I am just a property owner and I provide the transaction and therefore I get my rent. You need to be providing more and providing that service. You're right, we are more demanding. There's more information. The fact that, you know, YouTube now is more searched than Google on a daily basis. It is now up there as the number one. If my son's not playing a game, he's watching somebody playing a game. If somebody wants to see how to do something and I've never changed a light bulb anymore, you don't go and ask your dad like you used to and come and show me. I'll now go and watch a video on somebody who will actually show me that I can play, replay and watch. That access to information now means I need to know what's the benefit of me sitting and speaking to Tom. And that's what we need to be thinking. When I sit in front, what is the benefit of me? And that cannot be, I can perform this transaction that can be done by another piece of tech.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, look, you mentioned you're a property investor as well. And I do want to dive into a little bit more in a minute about technology and the future of technology for landlords, for the property industry. And I also am going to get you, and sorry to put you on the spot, but I am going to get you to talk through PayProp and what it means and what it does and what it solves. But until then, your own journey as a property investor, give us an idea of how you started property investing yourself. What was your first property?
So actually, the first time getting involved and dealing with property was while still at university. What actually happened is I was working at the time. So I had access, and I didn't need the money, but I had access to a student loan. At that age, who else is going to lend me money? Nobody. So how could I invest that student loan? What could I do where actually me being able to work evenings or weekends would be of a benefit? And actually, that looked to be the property industry. And this was back even before gas regs. So there was an even lower barrier to market. And I find it bizarre that actually back then as a student, people would trust me with their property, their singular biggest investment. And I knew that about property. I knew zero. All I knew is I wanted to be able to sell it. I had Rolodex cards with the corners cut off so I could get to my hot applicants when I was dealing here of an evening. And I would go out and I would take on their biggest investment that they were looking to deal with. And I suppose that was the start of my property journey. And I always saw lettings as the dark side. The sales was the bigger, the quicker, the faster transaction, the larger return. And it wasn't until I started to build up that property management in another business that I started with another business partner, which is actually an agency called Busby at the time. And we started to see that property management income coming through. And it actually started to cover those bottom line costs that you start picking up and saying, oh, hold on, maybe this does have a benefit. And then when you focus on it, you start realizing, actually, as an agent, if you focus and offer the correct service, then it becomes a far more profitable service. So we went through a 10-year cycle in that property journey where people were driving the costs down and you got people offering fully managed for 5%. Because what they were actually doing were just seeing this as an ancillary service and in essence offering a glorified rent collect and then getting upset when there are any maintenance issues because I hadn't priced it accordingly. And I went to see a few agents who, you know, I sat down with somebody and I borrow the phrase when referring to the agency, said, actually, we charge like a wounded bull, but the service we offer is second to none. So my landlords don't mind paying for it. For his background, he was a lawyer. And I always say the same, he's a friend of mine, but I'll never meet him at work because otherwise I'm worried I'm getting billed for the conversation because his time is worth money. And when I started to then apply that to a letting agent, that actually, yes, I can do all these services. I can go and do title checks for you. I can go, for one of ours, we had to find out who owned an overhanging tree and what could be done. All those services we can offer and become that full property concierge. But if it's using time, it attracts a fee. And when we took that allowed us to take our property management service from, oh, this is something we can offer in addition to a rental, to this is a service that we offer we will rent your property as the ancillary service. And that's where our mindset has changed. And I would say not so much as an investor. An investor, my mind changed almost instantly that I wanted to use a professional, because I was a professional. So I had a different journey to a lot of landlords that would actually, I could do this myself, and then come to the realization as the regulation changed, I started off on that route. I would say my property journey has been my understanding of what it is to look after a property and actually how to make that the service that you concentrate on, and actually the letting of it, being able to arrange a tenancy. That's the ancillary service.
Very interesting. So I do, I have a number of discovery calls where people that listen to the podcast or watch my videos on Facebook or whatever, they, I give them 30 minutes so I can discover their concerns and issues. It's just a 30 minute call. It's completely free. And I actually get loads of content from it. That's my incentive. So people present their fears or their concerns or their challenges, and then I try and offer some advice and try and solve problems and whatever. But then I get content from it so I can then share with other landlords. Yeah. Anyway, the reason I tell you that is because one of the clients I spoke to yesterday, his biggest issue was that he wanted to get into property investment, reach an income level where he could then quit his job and focus on managing his properties. Mm. And I said, do you enjoy your job? And he said, yeah, I like my job. And I said, well, why would you want to get a load of income, make a load of money on a regular basis from your property portfolio, and then quit a job that you enjoy to do a job that you've got no idea about, that's actually pretty rough, and it's a pretty relentless job managing a portfolio? And he was like, oh, yeah, I never thought of it like that. He said, I just assumed that you build up a portfolio and then you can quit work and then you just concentrate on property for the rest of your life. And I said, what a terrible life that is.
And it's not the way that we do it in any other area. I don't buy a car and then say I'm going to become a car mechanic. I'm going to make myself MOT sorted and I'm going to do my own MOTs on my car. I go and use a professional.
I just bought a load of shares in Uber. I just bought a load of shares in Uber.
Oh, you've got to become a taxi driver.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to go. And...
So there is this view within property. And I think, and I had it the same. The reason I tell you that starting journey is because I had it the same. There was a view that the property industry was easy. And I think you now don't need to confuse a low barrier to market with it being easy. There's a lot of people that come in. I went and met somebody as a potential PayProp customer who was going on a steep learning curve because he had a franchise that he'd started that day. But prior to that, he ran a franchise selling milkshakes. And one franchise, I can go to another. And almost for that same, he was a property investor. So it made sense for him to move his franchise because he would then be able to mix the two together. But actually, to run an agency well, the amount of knowledge and what you need to know and the regulations, it is phenomenal how much that goes on behind the scenes. And that's kind of the best thing about an agency and a tech. If it looks so simple that you almost want to do it yourself, then they're doing a really good job, because this is not a simple industry to operate at all. And if they're able to do that, you are probably dealing with a very good agency.
I'm just going to say this for the benefit of my PA and my content manager. So let's take that comment and snip it out and use that as a trailer, because that is a fantastic comment. And it really warms me as the owner of a letting agent when you say, if it looks like it's easy, then they're doing a great job. Brilliant. Well, look, I want to talk a bit more about the letting agent world and how your tech and other tech complements it and makes it. But really, nowadays, I see, and I'd like to get your comments on this, I see a big split between a modern letting agent and a traditional letting agent. And I'll give you a story behind this. I just bought two letting agents, which are very, very traditional in their ways. Very good letting agents, very thorough, very close with their clients. And everything was manual. And I'll give you one of those companies, by the way, had two members of staff, and one of them was 76 and the other one was 67. I mean, well, not including the directors, they were employees. But it just goes to show that they've been there for years, and every single property maintenance job was paper written and managed properly, managed very well, no complaints. And my philosophy on those types of companies is that I love to buy a traditional company and add tech to it.
Yeah, so I kind of hate these banners. I mean, I understand why we use them, but you get people using, it was a traditional agent, it was a hybrid agent, it was an online agent. I think what they're actually saying is it's a responsive agent that is keeping up with modern market, or it's not. And we're trying to find really nice ways, it's traditional, as a really nice way of saying, actually, you have not maintained what you need to be competitive as an agent. In the same way, I get a lot of traditional agents saying, oh, I hate the online agents. Okay, how do you advertise your properties? Oh, yeah, we use the portals. Okay, how do you get your applications come in? Oh, we get them via email. You're online. These monikers that we've used don't truly think of how the consumer connects it. And actually, if they interact with you using technology, then you are a modern agent. If you're not now bringing the rest of your services in line with that, then you are not offering the service that that consumer expects. Because I engage with you on the portal using technology, I expect that the rest of your services have kept pace. I don't expect that actually you only bought the window front up to spec, and that the moment I step through the door, we're still using abacuses to add up and to deal with things. As a consumer, that's not what I would expect. You know, if I think of it, and everybody uses Amazon, I think single-handedly our household is keeping them afloat at the moment during lockdown. But if I walked into Amazon and people were still building the boxes by hand, ripping the tape off and cutting it, and everything was somebody running into the warehouse and picking it out, that's not what we expect, because that is not the image they portray. And that is the same with the letting and the property industry. We show people a front image that we are tech adopters. If our back office isn't the same, then we are not offering that transparency to our customers. In, yes, I'm taking you for the expert, don't get it wrong from the person, we're always going to sell that expert at the agency, but I'm expecting a certain level of tech adoption to be providing that service.
Absolutely spot on. And it's funny, I don't want to gear this towards letting agents, right? I do have some letting agents that listen to my podcast and watch my videos on Facebook and YouTube, whatever. But predominantly, my following is landlords and property investors. But it's very interesting, because what we're talking about is letting agents. And I stand corrected about using modern and traditional, and I get what you mean. Modern is using modern tech. And if you're advertising on Rightmove, then you're using modern tech. And if you're using an email, then it's modern tech. And I guess really what you're saying is old fashioned and up to date. That's what we're talking about.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's, and really we don't want to upset the agent by saying, right, well, you're old fashioned. You are now not keeping up with what your industry requires.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely,
we feel that he's making a judgment against somebody who's earned his stripes. He's done 20, 30 years in the property industry. He's earned his stripes. So let's not be mean to him. But he's not mean. You know, the IFAs went through a whole shakeup with the financial crash in 2008. They had to decide what happened, transparency, new regulations, how they could earn. But they were the better for it. And I think this and Roper and what we're going through, that's our shakeup. And part of that shakeup is make sure you're doing it correctly.
Yeah. Well, I used to be a mortgage advisor through that time when it came in, you have to have certain qualifications, and it was tough. But do you know what I was getting at as well with the adding tech to an old fashioned agent? So of the two that I've bought, I've implemented now the first one. I'm a bit further down the line with the first acquisition. And you'll love this as well, Neil. So I bought this company and they were very old fashioned in everything they did. Very thorough. Everything was absolutely fantastic, and they were great owners, great And not so much business people. They weren't business minded. They're very much owner operators.
Okay.
But then I took that company on and added pay prop into it. It's the first thing I did. And cheers, by the way, if you listen to this, Daniel Eden, what a legend he is. Oh, I love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. Anyway, oh, and Bradley. Bradley is literally the happiest man on the planet.
He is. Oh, he loves his job.
Do you know, this is totally off topic, sorry. But one of my staff members, Hayden, he deals a lot with pay prop and deals a lot with Bradley. And he says to me, he says, right, I'm going to give Bradley a call for my daily motivation. It's brilliant. Anyway, added pay prop into this very old fashioned style letting agent and immediately started getting feedback through my staff, but started getting feedback from landlords saying, wow, that's much better. They've got access to this information. They get notified. They get that little message through that says, you've just been paid this amount of money. Fantastic.
Landlords, and let's take this back. Landlords that do choose to use an agent or do it themselves, they are looking for certain things to help them. And that's what we said first. It's that give off. I don't leave an agency if I had a property investor vested if they're offering a good service. It's not even really the fee, because the fee is what I'm actually receiving. So long as it's justifiable for the service I'm getting, then I don't mind paying a good fee for a good service. What I leave for is that poor service and bad communication. And for most of the landlords that I speak to that have stayed DIY or gone DIY, that has been their biggest cause of problem: communication. And even if it's not communication to the landlord, the fact that there has been no communication to the tenant that has ultimately contributed to that tenant leaving with damage, with a void period, with more costs to incur to get another one. And communication is that biggest thing, that actually a good agency that can do it, that is worth its weight in gold. But an agency that provides bad communication, I'd be a DIY landlord all day, every day, rather than put my property into that kind of situation, because that then becomes a real headache. I also do a lot of linking with Paul Champlina, who obviously deals a lot with the evictions. I was at something last year with him where he just dealt with his 10,000th eviction, actually dealing with tenants. And he still states, for DIY landlords or for agents, communication is that biggest problem. And a lot of landlords doing it DIY is because I can remain in communication with that tenant. I can actually control what is actually happening within. So if I'm going to speak or if I'm going to look at an agent, for a landlord, that's the first thing I want to know.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I want to see if they're getting complaints about. So if their reviews and everything is actually tenants who are happy, that gets me that actually their communication must be okay.
Yep.
It's not necessarily the landlords, because different landlords, we can have different demands. What I actually look is the person that you're not getting paid from, because that's how a lot of agents view the tenant. If they love your agency, you're probably doing something right.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I'll have to get Paul on the podcast, because I think at the moment evictions is a massive topic.
Oh.
And so I think he'd be a good guy to get on it. Maybe you can give me a shout out. I don't know. We'll see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for anybody with landlords that are dealing with eviction, you know, using some of those eviction specialists, and this him and Chris and various people up and down the country, that again, that is a service that is worth its weight if you find yourself in that unfortunate situation where you've got to go through an eviction, using a specialist like them or Agent Smart, as I mentioned, somebody who can walk you through, because the regulations, the forms, the timings, everything now has changed. And if something is wrong, to go back to the beginning can be a hugely costly process because you weren't able to follow it in the correct guidance.
Yeah. I'm with you totally. And I think as well, going back to a point we made earlier on very quickly, is that your letting agent kind of enables you to stay anonymous to that whole part. Because like my letting agents, for an example, when we get into that stage where we need to evict a tenant, we take care of the notices and we take care of the compliance leading up to it. But then when it starts to get serious, we've got a lawyer Brilliant. A very successful local legal firm that we take it to, and they do everything properly. There's so many stories about people, landlords, having to go to court and then get something wrong and then go back to court and then go back to court, and it takes ages.
There's so much regulation that's been brought in, you know, to actually cover the tenant, that they can now claim that there's outstanding works issues. So, and that can bring it to a pause, and then you've got to show that you've dealt with it, addressed it, for it to be able to get. How do you show that process? You still need to adhere to that because the notices now expire. I remember a time where you used to issue the tenancy day one and the section 21 day two to kind of cover yourself. And it was those practices that are now gone. And that's the route that we're going on. And the section 21, you know, is on its way out. Everybody you speak to, it will go. So now the need to have those robust reports that if you were to go to court, you can actually show this is the situation are going to become vital.
Yep, I completely agree. Okay, look, let's jump on to the next bit and maybe a little bit of fun here. If money and technology was totally irrelevant, if you had limitless tech, limitless science, limitless everything to your at your disposal and money was no object, what tech would you love to be able to make for a landlord right now?
Oh, that is such a big question. And there is so much going on with, you know, smart cities, smart properties, AI, machine learning. Do you know what? That would be the machine learning tech that I would like. That in almost the same way that Amazon and Facebook now know what advert to play to me, because, you know, I watch the Netflix program that scares you on how much they actually know about you, and how they monitor to get screen time, is that same tech that actually I know when this tenant's looking to leave, and I know when this other tenant's looking for a property, and I know this matches, and that actually via a social media property platform, I can have that same knowledge, and you don't go out and find a property anymore. And a landlord doesn't go out and find a tenant, that actually machine learning matches you to the right tenant, to the right property, to the right affordability, and actually does that, that we don't need to put things up on portals, that actually you can get the right property relayed to the right tenant at the right time, that it is the perfect one for their home. That would be the tech to use machine learning and smart development for. Right. It's, that would be phenomenal. You'd need a some kind of supercomputer like the Fugaku in Japan to run it, because the amount of computations that would be needed to do that. But if money was no object, that would be the perfect service. That actually, I start thinking, do you know what? I'm going to move. I've got a new child on the way. I need to move from this 2 beds to a 3-bedroom property. And the system automatically on my phone or my iPad or my computer that I'm on says, just to let you know, this property is going to become available in exactly the right timeline for you to exit yours and move into this one with zero void period. It's within your affordability because I've looked at your salary, your outgoings and your budget and what you're able to get for a 3-bed. The landlord would love you as a tenant because this is what he's looking for and he wants it for families. I can connect you and we can do the tenancy automated now. Click yes to accept. That would be my ideal tech.
Brilliant. And, you know, you could take that so much further, couldn't you? You could amalgamate the data from people's phones where it listens to their conversation when Mrs. says to Mr., hey, I think we should move property. And that triggers something. I mean, it's probably happening.
And actually it has all the property scores. So actually you know where somebody sits. I mean, there is so much information out there which is not connected at the moment. Yeah. Just connecting all of those data points with that machine learning would be great. And they're starting to do that. And they've started to already build these smart cities, not in the UK yet, but certainly we're starting to look at that tech. And I think when you've got buildings now where you don't tell them that you've got a leak in your flat. The building knows it's got a leak, and the building goes and tells the contractor and arranges the contractor to attend the property without anybody getting involved. You've got smart buildings with drones that are able to do inspections and schedule communal and management works to that building. I mean, stuff like that. You know, they book a gardener to come and keep the garden, and then a drone does a video inspection and is able to tell whether that gardener has not only done his job, but has done it to the standard requested, closes it, does a report and sends it. I mean, tech and stuff like that, it is phenomenal.
You could even take it into investing, couldn't you? Where you have a series, you know, imagine this, you have like an army of drones scanning the entire country, and that is linked up with property data, analyzing growth areas, development areas, pieces of land that might be available to build on. That links up with the planning department. Well,
go online and look at the Korean drone messaging. So they did a huge message in the sky about staying safe and everything for the pandemic using lights from a drone, and it moved and changed to give them the message in screenwriting, like 100, 150 drones high. So it was able to be seen anywhere within the city. And you look at some of the things that we're able to do, I think advancements that we've got that we will see coming in property. It's going to be exciting for investors over the next 10 to 15 years.
Very much. Very much. Well, you know what? Your imagination just starts going, doesn't it? But I want to drag you back down to earth now. We've talked about drones. We've talked about potential, I don't know, technologies that there could be. But I do want to get back to PayProp. And again, look, for everybody listening, I don't get paid by PayProp. I'm actually a customer of PayProp. And the reason I wanted to get Neil on to talk about PayProp is because there are so many DIY landlords and landlords or property investors that are looking to get into property. And they're all going to have that thought of, which agent should I use, right? Now, of course, my agent is based in Portsmouth and I cover about a 30-mile radius of Portsmouth with my other agencies and so on. So I can't benefit everybody. I can't work with everybody. But if you're talking to a landlord, I want you to do two things, Neil, if you don't mind. If you're talking to landlords directly, number one, how would you choose letting agents? And number two, talk us through PayProp and how you feel it benefits the landlords being with agents that use PayProp.
Okay, so let's answer that first one. That actually, if I'm a landlord, how would I choose a letting agent? So I'm going to choose that letting agent on the most important part of that service. So if that letting agent come and tells me, actually, I can get your portal up quickly onto the portal, I'm almost going to dismiss them because that is not a service that I need that letting agent for. If somebody comes and tells me, actually, we know this local market, this is what I've got. So actually, again, ask them to evidence, not just tell me, oh, yes, we can let your property. We let lots of property. Show me that you've been able to attain the rent that you're telling me that you're able to attain. And then show me that you've got happy long-term tenants in your property, because that's what I'm after. Unless I'm actually interviewing somebody to look after an Airbnb property, I don't want void periods. I don't want changes. I don't want to incur the costs. With a tenant fee ban now, all of those costs at that change sit with me as the landlord. So the more stable a tenant that I've got, the better I feel. I then want that agency to tell me what they do ongoing for that fee. And they shouldn't be wanting to hide behind it. So an agency that still relies on that jargon or tries to bamboozle you, or some agents say, well, actually, we do lots behind the scenes. It'd be hard for me to go into, but all you need to know is we do everything that needs to be done. No, I want that transparency. Tell me what you do. Because if you honestly are choosing a fair service for what you're actually providing, you should have no problem breaking it down. And actually tell me how I remain in control. Yeah, so if an agent is charging a fair service, it should be justifiable and they should be able to list what they're actually offering for that fee. If they're not, then I would be again wondering whether that's the right agent. And then once they give me that, as a landlord, the biggest thing I want is how do you give me that transparency and control? Because as an agent, I give it over to you. I don't care whether I've got one property or I've got 10. I want to feel that the service I'm getting for you for that fair fee is as important as everybody else's. And I need to feel that. And I need to feel that my tenant will experience that. So do your fair homework. Don't choose them just because they have the biggest market share, because it doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing it right. Don't choose them just because they're the ones that happen to approach you and they've got a good salesperson. Actually look at, what am I going to get for my money? And don't choose them just because they're cheap. I'm not using the phrase that one of my clients used to say, which was, you pay peanuts, you get monkey, because that's not what we're actually hiring. But you do get a fair service with a fair fee. If it is below the market average, yeah, which is typically looking at around that 12% mark, then how are they able to provide that and meet the compliance? Normally there is a playoff for that on the fee. People who are able to offer higher, and the agencies that I've been involved in, just to let you know, we charge a 21% inclusive of VAT fee. A lot of people at that point suck their teeth in like the mechanic doing your car. But our landlords pay it because what we offer warrants that service. The protection, the rental protection automated, the way we do our inspections, everything is broken down to justify that fee. And our landlords come in knowing that's what I'm paying for. In the same way, everybody typically now has a TV provider at home. But I choose the package of services that best fit what I want. Mm-hmm. And that should be the same with the agency. Choose what it is that you need, but don't give away the things that are vital, which is your control, your transparency and your communication. They should be non-negotiable when you're choosing an agent. Now, if we then come on to, you know, an agent and why looking at an agent that uses PayProp. Again, I'm going to be a little bit biased on this, but to do it from a PayProp angle. But let me relay it back to those immovables. Irrespective of the agency you use, PayProp answers all three of those. You remain transparent. You can see everything that happens with the money. It actually reports on the flow of the money through the actual bank account. So the agency themselves is unable to edit that. So it's as good as you as a landlord receiving the money direct. It also provides your tenants a little protection of tenure, because even though a good agent would never do that, there seems to be this view that the tenant will pay the money. And if the agency is poor, they will make the tenant look bad to the landlord, because they'll never say, oh, I paid this late because the tenant paid me on time and it just took me a few days. They'll say, oh, I'm really sorry. The money came late. We've paid it over to you immediately. With PayProp, it's clear and transparent. We can see exactly when the money was paid by the tenant. We can see when it was remitted. And I love the fact you refer to that same day service, because that's how we want agents to use it. But if I did hold it for 2 days for a valid reason, it would show that. And that level of transparency would be there for the landlord. Then we looked at control. I see every deduction that's made from my money. Nothing can happen with that. Even the releasing of the deposit, if you use our environment, without it being a case that you can actually see everything that needs to be done. And then we come to that last one, which was communication. Again, as you mentioned, the tenant cannot receive any money without it being notified and getting a rent statement. The landlord can never get a penny paid out of his account without him knowing who he's gone to. And if I've received any, why have I received it? And how did you get to that breakdown? And the best thing about that is it doesn't rely on a human being at all. It's automated and has to happen. So that level of customer service is always portrayed. So as a landlord, for that vital part as a property investor of getting that money, I would definitely go for an agent using PayProp for that level of control. Unfortunately, we can't speak to your DIY landlords. PayProp is a service only offered through agents. But the reason we're promoting that is because I see over time with ROPA and the regulations, and from what we've already seen north of the border in Scotland, that the DIY landlord is going to need the agent for that compliance more and more as we become a regulated market. And making sure you choose the right one to protect your money is going to become vitally important, so that we don't ruin that investment as you say, that income that then comes to replace the job, because we've all got our long-term goals. Property investment is not a short-term fix. So let's not make a short-term decision that has a long-term impact.
Yeah, spot on. And it's interesting as well. You mentioned DIY landlords, because the, you know, for example, my letting agents, we provide a rent collect service, right? And it's a bit different to your normal, typical rent collect service in the sense that the DIY landlord could use that via PayProp through us, because PayProp will set up the equivalent of a dedicated client account, which the DIY landlord could just use through my agencies to collect the rent, notify the tenant when the rent is due, chase the rent if it's late, collect the rent, make the deductions if necessary, transfer it across to the landlord. And then there's all your accounting sorted. There's all of your statements sorted.
Let only no longer becomes an option. It's something that's been phased out, because as we've mentioned, there's tech that can do that on its own. Actually, that rent collect service is, we're seeing more and more that that's the DIY use. What we actually see, though, is when you make that step into the rent collect and you're using a good agency, then the DIY landlord starts to expand. In the same way, I probably took Sky and I might have just had the entertainment package, and then I added the box sets because I saw that was worth value. And then I maybe went and took the cinema and the sports because actually I now see this as great and I can get more from it. We're seeing the same within the property industry. It never used to be you either came on for one service and that's where you stuck. Actually, one of the things of tech is allowing people to enter that market. And then actually, when I've identified that good agent, giving them. You say you can't cater for anywhere. We've actually had some of our agents who are now operating properties far outside of their comfort zone, because the landlord wants to use them because they liked their services and what they give, not just with PayProp, but their all-round service. PayProp is a contributor, but I can't get that where I am currently. So even though this is not your wheelhouse, this is not your area of expertise, because it's 200 miles away from where you operate your agency, I'd like you to add this to my portfolio, because I'm prepared to take that distance gap because of what you give me as a package that you've already evidenced on the other properties that you have with my portfolio.
Brilliant. Well, look, we could talk for hours, right? Because we're talking about technology. We're both in the same industry and we could go on and on and on. But I'll tell you what I may well do, Neil, if you don't mind. I might get you on again to have a bit more of an in-depth discussion specifically about tech for landlords.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a lot. And I would say go out and do your research, but don't research and expect them to answer what your issue is. The biggest for the landlord is, what do I want this tech to solve? And then you can go out. There are so many places. If you go on to your tech radars, your landlord actions, there are whole sections on software for the private landlord to be able to have those services. I'd actually go and have a look, research. There's some legacy tech that is still absolutely brilliant for landlords because they're keeping up to date. There's some new people in the market that are doing great things. As you mentioned early on, there are some that aren't. And it's that navigation and having that expert view that sometimes is required. So don't worry about going to those forums and actually putting yourself out there and ask the network. Because I can tell you, any tech out there, there will be landlords that have tried it, landlords that have loved it, landlords that have hated it. So go and get that view. Find out what they liked, what they hated, why they chose it, why they left. And then looking at your own situation, make the assessment whether it's right for you. And it shouldn't just be money.
As a sign-off message, Neil, for any letting agents that are listening to this, I'll give you a quick elevator pitch to the letting agents that listen to me.
Look, for letting agents, if you are looking for a solution that's right for your business, that can give you time, give you a service excellence and give you a future protection and scalability for this industry, we're non-committal, non-contractual. Get an expert to just come out and do that same assessment and give you that information. That most you lose 30 minutes of your time. But even then, you will get an understanding of what is out there for your industry.
Yep. Thank you very much, mate. So I'm going to wrap that up there, and we will talk again, no doubt, and I'm sure our paths will cross again. We gave a great shout out to Daniel Eden there, as well as Brad.
Yeah, he will like that as well.
They are phenomenons in your company, mate. Massive compliments to your business. And anyway,
all right.
So thank you very much. Thank you very much for that, Neil. And look, I'm going to wrap this up by saying this is just one more thing that you can do if you're listening to this to be the best version of yourself. And if you're going to be the best version of yourself at one thing, and right now we're talking about being the best version of yourself as a landlord, then you've got to be the best version of yourself at everything you do. My name's Tom Soane. Thank you very much, Neil. And this is The Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media, or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast, and remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.